You can text us on 51551 or tweet at RTE Arena.
Ich habe ein Pianola zu Hause in meinem Salon. Ich bin die Pesselola, ich lieb ein Jedermann. Doch an mein Pianola, da lass ich keinen ran. Ich bin die Pesselola, der Liebling der Saison. Ich habe ein Pianola zu Hause in meinem Salon. Will mich wer begleiten?
German film star Marlene Dietrich singing Naughty Lola from her breakthrough film of 1930, The Blue Angel. Marlene Dietrich was one of the most iconic stars of the golden age of Hollywood, with films such as Shanghai Express, Morocco and The Devil is a Woman. In her later life, the reclusive Marlene, in a three-hour phone call, passed on her legacy to another great German chanteuse, Ute Lemper. And Ute Lemper has now created a show called Rendezvous with Marlene, which she is bringing to the National Concert Hall on May the 26th. And Ute Lemper joins me now from New York. Ute, I will get to that telephone call in a moment, but can you remember what first attracted you to the work and persona of Marlene Dietrich?
Yes, hello everyone there in Dublin. Well, Marlene Dietrich has been, I would say, an influence or an inspiration in my life for a very long time. Growing up, I thought she was an American Hollywood star. I didn't really know exactly about this complicated, big story of her life, also regarding the political dimension and her courage throughout the war and those years, many, many years afterwards. But then growing up in Germany, in post-war Germany, in the 70s, 80s, living in Berlin, in West Berlin throughout the Cold War, the divided Berlin, I understood and heard a lot more about her story. And finally, when in 87, 33 years ago, I lived in Paris, when I was the Sally Bolt in the French production of Cabaret at the time, everyone was writing about me, the new Marlene, and I thought, oh my God, how can they compare me to such an incredible legend? But it was, I wanted to basically apologize, so I wrote her a letter. She was still alive. She was 87 years old. I was 24. She lived as a recluse. She hadn't left the house for more than 12, 13 years. And I just addressed the letter, Marlene Dietrich, Avenue de Montaigne, and I knew the postman would find her. And a month later, I received a phone call from Marlene.
What a shock to get a phone call from Marlene Dietrich.
Yes, it was very overwhelming. I didn't expect this at all. And it was a long phone call, mostly a monologue. She talked and talked in her wicked way, mostly in German, but also some in English and some in French. And she was rather uncensored, like older people can be. And it took me a long time to really internalize this and to make out of this an important show, an evening, and a theater evening with music that has a meaning in our day, in our days, in our time today.
So what is your intention in Rendezvous with Marlene? Are you telling her story the way she told it to you back in 1987? Are you embodying her? Because you use your own voice, don't you? You don't impersonate her voice.
I am not doing an impersonation, no, but certain aspects of it, definitely I'm channeling her. I am crawling into her soul, into her heart, into her hurt. It is an interesting way, the way our two stories are warped together in a time difference, though. So let me tell you the most important part of her story that really put its hook into my life and the necessity for me to carry on and tell the story and the message that comes along with it today. Marlene Dietrich was an American soldier in World War II. She already had the American citizenship at the time. She had left Germany in the beginning of the 30s because Paramount was calling her after the Blue Angel, after the success in Berlin. The Germans didn't really like her at the time. She decided to stay in the States after the success of the Blue Angel. Yes, the Germans wanted her back, but at that time Hitler was already in power. It was Nazi Germany, and they wanted to bribe her into becoming a movie star for the Nazis and appear in films by Riefenstahl, Leni Riefenstahl and others. But Marlene said no. She heard very well from her friends, her Jewish friends who had emigrated and arrived in Los Angeles, what was going on in Germany, the way people were treated. And she said, absolutely, I will not get back to Hitler Germany. And so she made a very strong point about it. She didn't let herself being bribed back into it. And she acquired the American citizenship. Things got worse and worse. The war started. She signed up to be a soldier. And she entertained the troops for two years at the front lines. She was in Sicily, in Italy, in Africa, in North Africa. She was in England, in Ireland, and in France at the front lines. Billy Wilder, her friend, had said that she spent more time at the front than General Eisenhower at the time. She was in the trenches, entertaining the soldier, covered with dirt, with the bombs flying above her heads, and she just kept going until the very end of World War II. Now,
Uta, maybe this is a good time to play Lili Marlene and your interpretation of that great song of Marlene Dietrich's, which is so associated with the war.
Vor dem großen Tor steht eine Laterne und steht sie noch davor. Dann wollen wir uns wieder sehen, zu zweit bei der Laterne stehen, wie einst Lili war.
Lili Marlene there, sung by Uta Limper. And that was, would that have been one of the songs she would have sang to the troops?
Absolutely, that's her trademark song, because in 1943 it was broadcast by the Belgrade military radio and then broadcast all over Europe. The Germans heard it, the French, the British, the Russians, everywhere. People, you know, the soldiers in the trenches were listening to the broadcast of Lili Marlene, and the Germans didn't like it. Goebbels had said, this is a kitsch with the smell of corpses, that song. He wanted to erase that from the broadcast somehow, but couldn't do it. So yes, that was her trademark song, of course, as a soldier during the war.
And it was a song that resonated not only with German soldiers, because it is a German love song, but it resonated with everyone.
She sang it in English
everyone.
At the time, because she sang it for the American soldiers with the English lyrics. And later, I mean, it was originally a German song from World War One. It was revived and had its proper career actually in World War Two in its English translation on the American radio. And then it was broadcast all over. So
after the war, Uta, she, Marlene, returned to Germany. What kind of reception did she get there? How did the Germans take to her, she having been on the Allies' side during the war?
Well, first of all, she came back a few months after the end of the war to shoot the movie A Foreign Affair with Billy Wilder in Berlin, and very much in the ruins of Berlin. That is actually also a song that she sings, written by Frederick Hollander in that same movie, Foreign Affair. And it was haunting for her to be in the utterly destroyed Berlin of 1945 and to shoot the movie, the Hollywood movie, in the scenery. But in the late 50s, she met with Burt Bacharach, and she didn't receive many movie offers anymore at the time. She was in her late 50s, and she decided to go on stage and become a chanteuse and do a world tour with Bert Bacharach. 1960, they went back to Germany to appear in Berlin and Baden-Baden. People were gathered in front of the concert halls with banners screaming at her, "Marlene, go home." They said they couldn't forgive her, that she had left them alone in their misery with Hitler. That's what she reported. And there was bomb threats at the theaters. The press was awful. She was truly hated in Germany at the time, being called a traitor of the fatherland. And it was horrible for her to experience this. First of all, it was 15 years after the war. She should have been a hero to fight against Nazi Germany, but 15 years later, she was still treated as a traitor, being an expatriate, having fought for the enemy, for the Americans. Quite an unbearable, unthinkable story. And it kept on and on. The rejection of Marlene Dietrich went all the way through the years of the Cold War.
Uta, we're going to play another song, "Where Have All the Flowers Gone?" And just tell us a little about this. This is the Pete Seeger song that he wrote in 1955. But she sang it in German. And did she sing it in Germany?
She sang it in Germany in 1962 at the UNICEF Gala in Düsseldorf. And she sang it in all the languages of the world, wherever. That song was very important to her. She went to Israel. She sang it in Hebrew. She sang it in Greek, and she sang it in Portuguese. She sang it in all the languages to make people understand the message, which is the repetition of history, the cycle of history, the senselessness of war. And she sang it very much also in German at the UNICEF Gala in Düsseldorf. That was one of her last appearances in Germany. And it was pain-stricken for her to be back in the country being rejected, and yet she sang that very specific American song, anti-war song, written by Pete Seeger.
Well, the version we have is of you, Uta Lempres, singing it live in 2017 at the Life Ball, "Where Have All the Flowers Gone?"
Sag mir, wo die Blumen sind, wo sind sie geblieben? Sag mir, wo die Blumen sind, was ist geschehen? Sag mir, wo die Blumen sind, Mädchen, flüchten sie geschwind, wann wird man je verstehen, wann wird man je verstehen. Sag mir, wo die Mädchen sind, wo sind sie geblieben? Sag mir, wo die Mädchen sind.
That's "Where Have All the Flowers Gone?" sung by Uta Lemper in 2017 at the Life Ball.
Yeah. There's a new album with all of this out. I have to send it to you guys in Dublin.
Oh, right. It's out
the
now,
updated
is it?
Versions, yeah. From the show, actually, there's an album. I will bring it to you.
Very
I could
good.
Send you the MP3s.
We talked there about her political awareness and her political importance around the time of the war. But as well as being that, and as well as an iconic singer and actress, she was also very out there sexually. She took many lovers, both male and female. And she was a bit of a cross-dresser, very happy to dress as a man and a woman. She really broke the rules there also, didn't she?
Very much. She loved breaking the rules. That was her mission, basically. She said, give me a rule and I'll break it. And she was just a very naturally emancipated woman. In times when women were not allowed to have the last word, she was just standing there, leveled with the men. Naturally, she was educated. She could talk on all levels of culture and politics. And she made her contribution and gave her opinion. Yes, she had a natural emancipation, which was very unique for this time. And she also had a very natural relationship to sexuality. She was married to her husband, Rudi, for many, many decades, but they had an open marriage that existed in those years, at least in her life. And he had many affairs, and she did. And she said, when I find someone attractive, I want to make love to that person, no matter whether it's a man or a woman. I just want to be close to that person and stay friends with them. Well, I doubt that she very much fell in love with people, but she definitely wanted the intimate contact. But then mostly she stayed friends. The love itself didn't last very long, she said, but always the friendship lasted. And there was an exchange that continued for decades with her lovers. And she certainly had everyone in the business, every leading man on the planet from the time she was working with, from John Wayne to Gary Cooper, Frank Sinatra, Bogart, Orson Welles, Errol Flynn, George Bernard Shaw, and Hemingway, and Erich Maria Remarque, and Maurice Chevalier, and on, and John F. Kennedy, all of them. And there are funny stories attached to all these affairs, definitely, and I will tell them in the show.
Just getting back to what you were saying when that call came from Marlene Dietrich, you were in a cabaret, and the cabaret was very important in her life, The Blue Angel being the breakout film that she made, where she was Lola performing in the cabaret. The Blue Angel. Maybe you talk us into Falling in Love Again, that famous song from The Blue Angel.
Yeah, well, I was in the musical cabaret, of course, that is playing at the same place, 1933, the takeover of the Nazis, Berlin, the Kit Kat Club, Sally Bowles. Yes, that's the story of The Blue Angel actually is a story that is written much earlier by Heinrich Mann, the author, about this Prussian professor Unrat, who represents the morality and the establishment of the German society at the time, and he makes a fool of himself, then falling in love with the cabaret girl Lola. And his life is destroyed through this career, and he dies at the end in humiliation. So she sings in her nightclub there, Falling in Love Again, and I Am the Naughty Lola, and all these songs. But Marlene, this was the very beginning. The more known versions of Marlene are really the versions later on she sang with Burt Bacharach, with his orchestra. She sings it in English, Falling in Love Again, Never Wanted to, What Am I to Do, I Can't Help It. That when she had her lower voice, when she actually performed The Blue Angel, she was in her late 20s, and she had this high, squeaky voice, which was not so attractive. And later on, I guess after many, many bottles of whiskey and cigarettes and life experience and laughter and tears, she had this very mature, lower voice that was highly attractive. And these versions are more known of Marlene Dietrich.
Well, let's listen to you singing Falling in Love Again.
Von Kopf bis Fuß auf Liebe eingestellt. Das ist meine Welt und sonst gar nicht. Das ist, was soll ich machen, meine Natur. Sonst gar nicht. Männer schwirren mich wie Motten.
Falling in Love Again, sung there by Uta Lemper.
Also a much younger voice of mine. I don't even know what these versions, they must be from live versions from 30 years ago. Very interesting.
I don't think that's so long ago, but we're dying to hear the new version when you come.
Yeah.
Well, Rendezvous with Marlena, performed by Uta Lemper, will be at the National Concert Hall on Tuesday, May the 26th. More detail from nch.ie. Uta Lemper, thank you so much.
for having me. And this is indeed an incredible story, this woman. She was reflecting societies, nations, nationalism. She was reflecting the conglomerate of Europe and the meaning of it. She was making phone calls, you know, on her older days to the world leaders between Gorbachev and Ronald Reagan and Thatcher. She was really truly an interesting woman that had an artful career, but she was most of all really an extraordinary emancipated woman that put her own stamp on relationships and world politics and world culture.
Thank you very much. Uta Lempert's Rendezvous with Marlena will be on in the National Concert Hall in May in ch.ie for more information.